In the previous two episodes, we revealed a whole host of major Zionist players and their anti-democratic views. Unfortunately, the list of anti-democratic statements of major Zionist players was so long, we decided to devote one last episode to further uncover the statements of well-known Zionists, revealing the fundamental anti-democratic views of Zionist Israel. Let's continue one last time to outline the statements of famous Zionist Israelis and see if they conform with the universal values of democracy, debunking the great fallacy, Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. British journalist Robert Fisk. In the road, in laneways, in backyards and broken rooms, beneath crumpled masonry and across the top of garbage tips, when we had seen 100 bodies, we stopped counting. Down every alleyway, there were corpses. Women, young men, babies, and grandparents lying together in lazy and terrible profusion, where they had been knifed or machine gunned to death. There were women lying in houses with their skirts torn open to their waists and their legs wide apart, children with their throats cut, rows of young men shot in the back after being lined up at an execution wall. There were babies, blackened babies, because they had been slaughtered more than 24 hours earlier, and their small bodies were already in a state of decomposition, tossed into rubbish heaps alongside discarded US Army ration tins, Israeli Army medical equipment, and empty bottles of whiskey. Lieutenant Colonel Dov Yirmiah. Palestinian prisoners of war were taken to camps where the attitude towards the non-combatant Palestinian population recalls the attitude towards cockroaches that swarm the ground. Moshe Shadit. We have forgotten that we have not come to an empty land to inherit it, but we have come to conquer a country from people inhabiting it. Golda Meir. We in Israel need Jewish immigrants from countries with a high standard because the future of our social structure is worrying us. We have immigrants from Morocco, Libya, Iran, Egypt, and other countries with a 16th century level. Shall we be able to elevate these immigrants to a suitable level of civilization? Golda Meir. It was not as if there was a Palestinian people in Palestine and we came and threw them out and took their country away from them. They did not exist. Ariel Sharon. Israel may have the right to put others on trial, but certainly no one has the right to put the Jewish people and the state of Israel on trial. Benjamin Netanyahu. While visiting the construction of a concrete wall being constructed on the border between Gaza and Israel, the Israeli Prime Minister said the wall was necessary to defend ourselves against the wild beasts. Ariel Sharon. Everybody has to move, run and grab as many Palestinian hilltops as they can to enlarge the Jewish settlements, because everything we take now will stay ours. Everything we don't grab will go to them. Ehud Olmert. If the day comes when the two-state solution collapses and we face a South African-style struggle for equal voting rights, also for the Palestinians in the territories, then as soon as that happens, the state of Israel is finished. David Ben-Gurion. The borders of the Jewish state will not be fixed for eternity. David Ben-Gurion. After the formation of a large army in the wake of the establishment of the Jewish state, we shall abolish partition and expand to the whole of Palestine. David Ben-Gurion. No Zionist can forego the smallest portion of the land of Israel. A Jewish state in part of Palestine is not an end, but a beginning. Our possession is important not only for itself. Through this, we increase our power, and every increase in power facilitates getting hold of the country in its entirety. Establishing a small state will serve as a very potent lever in our historical effort to redeem the whole country. Moshe Dayan. After all, I know how at least 80% of the clashes there started. In Syria. In my opinion, more than 80%. But let's talk about 80%. It went this way. We would send a tractor to plow someplace where it wasn't possible to do anything in the demilitarized area and knew in advance that the Syrians would start to shoot. If they didn't shoot, we would tell the tractor to advance farther until in the end, Syrians would get annoyed and shoot. And then we would use artillery and later the Air Force also, and that's how it was. I did that, and Laskov and Shara, Yitzhak Rabin's predecessor as chief of staff, did that. Yitzhak did that, but it seems to me that the person who enjoyed most these games was Dado. Moshe Dayan. Our American friends offer us money, arms, and advice. We take the money, we take the arms, and we decline the advice. In the last three episodes, we looked into the statements of famous Zionists themselves to see if they were in accordance with democratic values, and in conclusion, we discovered that the Zionist state of Israel cannot be considered the only democracy in the Middle East, let alone a democracy at all. Zionist statements can, though, be considered quite supremacist in their nature. Those that consider Zionist Israel to be the only democracy in the Middle East have been misguided or naive and clueless. And truly, anyone who believes that Zionist Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East does not know the definition of democracy. But now there are no excuses because, as seen from their own statements, it is now revealed that the Zionist state of Israel has no democratic values and they oppose any and all democratic values that contradict with Zionist values. To the Zionists, as we have seen from their own words, democracy and human rights are not important, only Zionism is important. And as Ariel Sharon famously once said, nobody tells us what to do, we tell others what to do. And so, you have always thought that Zionism and Judaism were the same thing? Well, in the next episodes, we change gears and bring to light the countless voices defending Judaism from Zionism.